Bales is on the air.
You represent the government of juvenile delinquents.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
I knew my rent was going to be late about a week ago. I worked my ass off, but I still can't pay it though. But I got just enough to get off in this club and have me a good time before my time is up. Hey, let's get it now.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Hey, if there's a business out there that doesn't like to save a little money, then you're dumb. If you're a business owner, you don't like to save money, your business is about to implode. I'll just go ahead and tell you. I mean, those are the facts, people. Every business owner is trying to figure out how to cut costs somewhere. What if I told you could cut costs without having to sacrifice certain things about your business? Like, I don't know, the lighting. The lighting, the quality of the lighting. You don't have to spend an arm and a leg up front to get savings down the road, to get better lighting down the road. You just use Crude LED. You got to be a Duke Energy customer to get the rebates, but they can give you rebates up front. For these light fixtures, these like LED tube lights for $4 after rebate, all these rebates after purchase, all you got to do is just go through a very simple process of proving that you're a Duke Energy customer. It's that simple. My gosh. What could be easier than that? Go to the website, crudeled.com. That's K-R-U-T-L-E-D.com. Go by their office, 109 Interstate Boulevard in Anderson, right before J. Peters on exit 19B, or call them 864-401-8506. Would you like to get some rushing numbers before we do a little stock watch on a Monday? We get a little stock watch here in a second.
Some Clemson rushing numbers?
Clemson rushing numbers in the first three quarters. Because, you know, the last caller, I don't disagree with them that Clemson kind of knew that they could run the ball on Boston College. But again, it goes to the point where you like you kind of manage the first two-thirds of the game, and then the final third is where you really bring home the bacon, as a former host in this time slot might say. In the first three quarters, Clemson ran the ball 37 times for 178 yards. That's 4.8 yards a carry, which is fine. In the fourth quarter alone, Clemson ran the ball 21 times for 164 yards. That's an average of 7.8 yards a carry. So in the final quarter of play, when Clemson scored 27 of its 34 points, it averaged 3 more yards a carry than it did in the first three quarters combined. Now, part of that is sacks of Kelly Bryant, and part of that is a little bit of hesitancy to change the game plan. You're sticking with what works, and then you got to adjust at a certain point, and then you wore down Boston College by that fourth quarter. But when you had to move the ball and score, you averaged 7.8 yards a carry. That's comforting. As a Clemson fan, I would be comforted by that more than I would be concerned about the offensive line personally. I'm not saying don't care about the offensive line. I'm saying you're comforted more by the fact that when you had to line up and run it, you wore the team down and you ran it. Let's take one more phone call before we get to Stockwatch today. Lee from Greenwood is up with us next. Hey, Lee.
What's going on, guys? Hope y'all are doing great.
We are. Hope you are.
Doing great. I was at the game Saturday, got a chance to kind of sit pretty low and kind of be on field level, and a couple takeaways, and I can take comments off there. But first of all, just sitting at field level, and we were on the side when ETN broke that long run. His speed is not done justice on TV, because once he squared his body and started his stride, I mean, there were two guys that had a perfect angle on him. And there was this, it was almost kind of like when you see the TV show The Flash and everybody stops and he's running, but it's actually showing you slow motion, but he's really running really fast. That's kind of what it felt like when you saw him go right through them and just didn't even miss a beat. So I was just amazed and impressed with his speed in person. And the other thing I took away was, I think Herbstreit said it best the other day. I think we are very blessed with an embarrassment of riches for talent on this football team, from everybody, from the fact of a kid like Isaiah Simmons, who I think has just got googles of potential, and love what I see from him week to week. And then looking at the fact of, okay, you need somebody to make a play. Well, let's go to DeAndre Overton. Who's that? Oh, let's go to Trevion Johnson. Oh, we forgot about him. Oh, let's go to this guy. I mean, it was, you know, the things that you want and the things that you look for, and then you look at the scheme of the game and you see how things play out. And again, you know, I wasn't happy pretty much like everybody was going in the fourth quarter, but it was just a matter of watching the game within the game. And the game was this, you know, Clemson just runs the ball. They're going to wear him down, and that's exactly what it did. But I just wanted to get that takeaway from it and enjoy the show as always.
Thanks so much, Lee. We appreciate it. And, you know, he's right with the depth and the talent of some of the guys that are backups, like an Isaiah Simmons, like a Kayvon Wallace. Heck, Mark Fields was unavailable on Saturday, and lo and behold, Trayvon Mullen, before he got injured, was playing. I would say he had an up-and-down game. He was playing he played fine, but I think some of the big plays that Boston College hit were his responsibility. I'll put it that way. I don't think he had a bad game. I think he had busts at critical times, and so you're concerned about that, but he also had the pick. He also has tremendous athleticism. One thing that I think was problematic for Clemson, I think this was a mindset issue before we get to Stockwatch here. It's a mindset issue when you go into a game thinking that the other team is just going to kind of roll over physically, just from an effort standpoint. I wouldn't go so far as to say that Clemson thought that Boston College would roll over, but I'm not sure that Clemson went into the game prepared for a fight. And so I think the tackling suffered in ways that it had not in the first three games. For instance, I don't think Tanner Muse could have tackled more poorly than he did on Saturday, but that's not something that we have necessarily seen as a recurring theme throughout. I think particularly perimeter tackling and tackling running backs was an issue for Clemson. And so that's something that I don't think necessarily will crop up next week, but it's something that if it crops up, it wouldn't be the first time, because it cropped up against Boston College.
There were times when I thought, how many freshmen are on the field right now? I mean, freshmen and sophomores. Again, Clemson is very young and a lot of their depth is young, but that's how you kind of knew that Dabo Swinney felt like he couldn't lose the game, was that he just played all these young players in the third and fourth quarters. And, I mean, bottom line is 66% of Clemson's roster are freshmen or sophomores. You can't forget that. And so a lot of your depth is young, like Trayvon Mullen. And so sometimes Trayvon Mullen is going to have his moments where he does indeed look like a sophomore, and that's just part of it.
All right, it's time to bounce around a little bit. We got some NFL notes for you. The biggest story in the sport that you don't care about this week. And then one college football note. Ladies and gentlemen, Stockwatch.
Who's got worth this week? It's time for the Stockwatch on Out of Bounds.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. I don't know where you get your information, son, but I don't like it. Well, life all comes down to a few moments. This is one of them.
Roller coaster, ups and downs, you know that.
Not a question of enough, pal. The zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
I'm going to begin across the pond, so to speak.
Please give me a hear ye then.
Hear ye, the Jaguars were in Britain yesterday for an American football match between them, the Jaguars, and the Baltimore Ravens of America, and the Jaguars won by 1 billion points. The Jaguars utterly destroyed.
They need to move to London. They play so well in London.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. 44-7. In fact, you know, they play in London every year because their owner is a British guy.
Right.
That what is he own? One of the Manchester United or something. He's one of the owners there. Whatever. I mean, it's the EPL. He owns the EPL team over in Manchester United or Man City. I don't know exactly which one it is, but he does. Anyway, 44-7. They're now 2-1. They didn't just take advantage of Tom Savage. Now they've taken advantage of Joe Flacco, which means does Bryan Edwards have to change his fade the Jag strategy at 2-1? Because he got burned last week, and he got burned week one.
That is the question on everyone's minds. Did you see former show guest Benjamin Watson had the only touchdown for the Ravens?
Yeah, which is a womp womp. Like, that's one of those.
Yeah.
Sorry about it.
Come on, Ravens.
37 points. Stock down to the Steelers. Okay. I respect what the Steelers did, staying in the locker You turned my mic.
I didn't mean to. I meant to turn mine off. I have nothing to say. I meant to turn mine off. Did not mean to turn yours off.
I don't want to make a statement. I think it is perfectly reasonable because college teams do it and high school teams do it that an NFL team will want to stay in the locker room during the national anthem. But I can't help but think that the Steelers' performance in the game may have had a little something to do, not with the fact that the Bears were better, because we know that the Bears weren't better than the Steelers. There is no way. But that the Steelers may have been a bit double-minded going into the game. Maybe a little too much was made of how they're going to protest. Maybe that was too much of the conversation before the game. Again, I'm not making any statement about whether I do or do not support that. I think it was a fine idea to stay in the locker room for team unity. And I do kind of think that there were some people upset. There was a story on CBSSports.com where James Harrison's quote is saying, I thought we were on the same page, that we were just going to sit in the locker room to show solidarity so it wouldn't seem that we were split. And then the Alejandro Villanueva guy, he goes out there and stands by himself. I think a lot of teammates understood why he did that but wished that he wouldn't have, because it seems like there was an understanding that nobody would go out so that there wouldn't be differing messages communicated. I get that.
I don't think they were focused on football. I don't think they were focused on football yesterday,
and that's why you lose to the horrible, no good, 3-win team Chicago Bears. That's why you lose to the Glennon-Trubisky quarterback showdown of the century.
Trubisky gave some really good high fives yesterday.
He was awesome.
He was really good in that.
Glad you traded up to get that guy. Really glad. Goodness gracious. Stock down to the Steelers. Do what you want to do, but ultimately your job is to win football games, and they lost to the Bears, so we're going to rip them for that. Don't lose to the Bears with your full complement of players. Now Will Vandenborre is going to tell me which third string center is out for the year and then disrupted the whole chemistry of the whole thing. Stock up to Aaron Rodgers. You know Aaron Rodgers?
It's a bad man.
You know he had never won an overtime game? He was winless in overtime games.
That's shocking.
Which, when I heard that stat, I immediately verbalized, not to anyone, but just out into space, well, that could be misleading. Because maybe Aaron Rodgers' teams are 0 for life in winning a coin toss, and then the defense gives up a touchdown on the first play, and they can't win. I don't know. I'm going to need more context as to whether Aaron Rodgers is terrible in overtime games or not. Okay? I'm going to need more stats on that. But he wins an overtime game yesterday in a game in which his team did not get the ball first, and a game in which his team protected against what would have been an embarrassing upset loss at home to the Bungles, who couldn't even score 2 weeks ago, had to radically change offenses, and now all of a sudden go into Lambeau and were probably the better team against the Packers on Sunday. They escaped by the skin of their teeth to give Rodgers his first victory, and Rodgers made the plays, led him down the field in a comeback in the fourth quarter. That's what MVP caliber players do. That's what a quarterback of his caliber is supposed to do. Props to him. Stock down to Darren Sproles on one of the sickest injuries I've ever seen. He tore his ACL and broke his arm on the same play.
I don't know why I'm laughing. That's just so bad. How does that happen?
My mom has that thing. That's terrible. Where somebody trips and falls on the sidewalk and she laughs about it.
Right.
She has that thing.
That's
your thing.
Like, talk about kicking someone when they're down. I mean, good grief.
Yeah, or breaking someone's arm when they're down.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. That is awful.
That is so unfortunate.
Mercy. Stock down to Sproles, who is a really fun player to watch when he's playing well. Stock up to, I hate this, because I was this close. I was this close to going full on Purdue on Virginia and giving out Virginia, but I was like, maybe Boise's figured out their quarterback issues. No! The worst home loss for Boise State in 16 years. Administered by not Oregon, not some Pac-12 power, not even a team that's going to a bowl game. By Bronco Mendenhall's Virginia Cavaliers, 42 points. Kurt Ben Kurt, whose name is basically three first names. I don't know of anybody that has three first names. Kurt Ben Kurt. Oh, man. Kurt Ben Kurt playing so much better at quarterback and just dissecting, wheeling and dealing against a Boise State secondary that had no idea what to do. They lose 42-23, and I feel like an idiot for not giving that out, even though the other game I gave out on Friday, Utah -3.5, also hit, so it would have just been a Friday night party for all if I'd have... Because laying the points with Utah was a winner, and if I'd have taken the 12 or whatever it was, with Virginia and said they were going to win straight up like Purdue plus 7.5 last week, I would have been a happy camper.
I'm glad one ACC team took care of business.
Yeah, pretty much everybody else stunk. And Wake almost lost to App. Made me look bad in that, saying that Wake Forest is going to beat App by 30 or whatever.
Will you just
I said.
Give me a signal when it's time that I can make fun of Florida State?
Yeah.
Just give me the signal, okay?
Stock down to Oregon. Willie Taggart's got everything going the right direction. They get that big win against Nebraska, the big win where they really play great. And then maybe Nebraska's not that great. They're trying to fire their coach. By the way, how about Scott Frost? How about Scott Frost holding Maryland to 10 points when Nebraska's coaching job is all but open? Scott Frost making his first campaign speech on Saturday. And it goes like this, 38-10 over Maryland. Take that, Maryland. Anyway, stock down to Oregon, though, because they went to Arizona State. And like, you can't go to Arizona State and lose. They're basically trying to fire Todd Graham as soon as they can scrounge up the, you know, 17, 18 million, whatever his outrageous buyout is. Only 15 or 14 million, whatever it is, to pay him off. They're going to get rid of him, except for he keeps saving his job with wins like Saturday's hashtag Pac-12 After Dark win over the Oregon Ducks, who just snuck back in the poll for the first time in 2 years. And just as quickly as they came,
womp,
they
womp,
left.
Womp.
Bye, Oregon. Thanks for playing. Sorry about that. Are you as stunned by this as I? Arizona State beating Oregon probably doesn't seem that big of a deal to some people, but I just feel like Oregon's program, even though they were so bad last year, they still have enough talent in that program that they should go and be the tougher team and win at Arizona State.
Losing to Arizona State is pretty much inexcusable. Yeah. I mean, that's a terrible loss for Oregon.
Horrible loss. Get that out of my face, Oregon. Stop giving up yards and points. Stop giving up 347 yards to dual-threat quarterback Manny Wilkins, who would rather run than throw anyway. Wilkins only had 35 yards rushing, but had 2 touchdowns. They gave up almost 500 yards to Arizona State. And then Justin Herbert, 19 to 35, 281, 3 touchdowns in a loss and no interceptions in a loss. How about stop somebody, Oregon? Stock up to Carmelo Anthony, who got traded to the Thunder for half their team. Way to go.
What?
Good job.
Mello. I love how the NBA slid this in on a football Saturday, and I had to see it on Twitter, and just my mouth dropped.
It was like right at the end of college game day.
Just casual.
Mello's going to the Thunder. He was traded for Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and the Bulls' second-round draft pick in 18, which is kind of a low, you know, that's kind of a low price, but those are 2 depth guys. So basically, you traded 2 depth guys for 1 star player, so stock up to Anthony for getting out of New York and going to a contender.
Former star.
Stock down to Paul George. He already was going to have to play second fiddle to Russ. Who was going to be the odd man out there? Russell Westbrook was the most used player in the league last year by leaps and bounds and one of the most used players ever in the history of basketball. Carmelo Anthony takes 30 shots a game or pouts. The only one of those players that has ever deferred in any of their careers is Paul George, who deferred to Danny Granger his first couple years of his career. Paul George is going to be the guy who doesn't take as many shots, who ends up probably looking like the Chris Bosh of the trio, for lack of a better way. But he's better than Bosh, but he's going to look like the Bosh of the trio because Anthony and Westbrook are just going to fight over the ball every time down. They're never passing.
If Melo can stay healthy, I mean, if Melo can kind of get back to what he used to be, I don't buy Melo.
Who are their other
I think Paul
players?
George can still be the second fiddle.
Who is starting there? Who else do they even
have on
their team?
They still have Steven Adams.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Who else? You need a fifth. Who's their fifth guy?
Is Nick Collison still there?
How about the walking Shaq from the foul line, Andre Roberson?
Andre Roberson.
Because somebody's got to be there to shoot 32% from the line. Goodness gracious. Stock down to Paul George, though, because he might have to play the 4, actually. You want to rip Florida State when we come back?
Let's do it.
All right, stay with us. More to come out of bounds. We're going to rip Florida State in a moment.
Welcome to Bowls!
Mondays can seem like the zombie apocalypse. People are staggering around mumbling.
Coffee.
Need more sleep.
And most places seem completely abandoned. With one exception.
Welcome to Moe's!
Every Monday at Moe's is filled with life as friends listen to killer tunes, catch up on the weekend, and enjoy their awesome burrito or burrito bowl made with 20-plus fresh ingredients, not to mention the free chips and salsa. So see you next Moe Monday. Unless you like hanging out where it's kind of dead.
At Spectrum Business, the best business services keep getting better. What does that mean for you?
It means your business gets faster internet, more advanced voice, and over 99.9% network reliability. It also means no added taxes or fees, and no contracts, ever. Because at Spectrum Business, we believe in earning your business every day. Just call 866-200-6171 to get our new faster internet speeds, up to 100 megabits per second for only $44.99 a month. And that's not all. You can also add advanced business voice with unlimited long distance and over 30 calling features, all for just $29.99 a month. It's all part of our commitment to redefining what a cable company can be. Call 866-200-6171 today and switch to Spectrum Business to get the best value for your business with new faster internet and advanced voice. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Just like our national champion Clemson Tigers, John Deere and AgPro know a thing or two about leaving it all on the field. Their compact tractors feature legendary toughness, strength, and unrivaled durability. Right now, you can check out the entire John Deere lineup at AgPro. They even have special financing available, so it won't take a big bite out of your budget. Find the location nearest you or request a quote today at agproco.com.
As a business, you want a clean facility for your customers, your staff, and your guests. Turn to the best in the industry, JanPro. You are hiring a company whose staff is certified, not just trained. They're insured and bonded, and they go through an intense 5-week certification program. They're local business owners growing the local economy, and they can do more than just cleaning. You'll be more than satisfied with the JanPro team on your team. You'll be amazed. Call JanPro today at 458-3053.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Anything that's made just for you is a perfect fit, right? Like a tailored suit. It fits your measurements, no one else's. That same kind of fit is exactly what Engineered Sleep strives for. A mattress made just for you, built to your sleeping patterns and habits. What could be more important than a good night's rest? Engineered Sleep wants to make it a perfect night's rest. If after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process. Learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there is no middleman. Factory to you! And you can score a significant discount by picking up your mattress instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
It's moving day, and Tiger Moving Company is here to help. Skip the headache. Hire the professionals with the right tools for your move. Their clean-cut and reliable team pack and assemble furniture seamlessly, so all you have to do is make yourself at home. To top this all off, they even start and stop the clock at your house, charging you a flat hourly rate. No rounding up. Call today at 908-9028 or email tigermoving@gmail.com to make your next move with Tiger Moving Company.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
That's all anybody will talk about, and that will be that.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kellum.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. I don't want to ruin this moment. I still got to talk about what Boston College did in coverage and how Virginia Tech might replicate it or try to replicate it. But first, let's talk about Florida State. Kelly, you, for some reason, you're more upset about this than I am. But Florida State isn't even the team you're most upset with. So I'm just going to give you the mic.
No. Let me clarify.
Just go. Mark.
A team that I'm upset with and that is now dead to me in the pick 'em contest is Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
I am done with Kentucky forever and ever. They had to literally do everything possible to lose that football game by putting 10 players on the field to let Luke Del Rio throw an open pass to old boy in the end zone for Florida. Then they had to have a holding call when they set themselves up for a game-winning field goal. And they just did everything possible to lose. It was the most Kentucky thing I've ever seen, and I'll never forgive them. They're dead to me. Anyway.
Wow. Tell us how you feel.
I am a woman scorned. Now, the second thing I wanted to bring up, I know we have a lot of Seminoles that listen to us, and I want you guys to keep listening. So take this with a little bit of a grain of salt, okay? But also know where I'm coming from in that as a student at Clemson, I have had my heart broken and stomped on by Florida State. Numerous times. I can think of...
You mean you were stabbed with a spear?
Yeah, literally stabbed with a spear. Yes. Trampled by a horse, stabbed with a spear, whatever Florida State does to people. I can remember the 2013 game that I don't want to really bring up on the show. I was on the hill, which, students, that's the thing that is... it's not the west end zone, it's the east end zone where students are supposed to stand.
Allegedly.
I was on the hill, in wedges, mind you. Which
that
is terrible.
Seems,
don't
like
ever attempt it. I took off
made.
My shoes on the hill.
Yeah, that seems like a horrible
standing
choice.
Standing there, just watching Clemson be beaten into oblivion. 2014, of course, how could we forget? Jameis didn't play. Clemson still found a way to lose. It was terrible. So, just know where I'm coming from here, okay? And I know you feel the same way about those two losses.
Uh-huh.
It is history, but it is there, okay? So, to see that Florida State, somehow, some way, is not ranked this week for the first time since 2011, for the first time in 6 years. To say that I was surprised, sure, because you generally associate a ranking with Florida State. To say I was sad to see it, can't really say that, Kwok. I can't really say that. And so I just wanted to put out there that for the first time in 6 years, Florida State is not ranked. Stock down to the Seminoles. They are 0-2. They can't find a win. And, I mean, obviously, I'm not trying to make light of the Francois injury. That is unfortunate, and I hate it for him. That being said, you had no backup plan, Florida State. And you're 0-2. And you lost to North Carolina State, who had not beaten a ranked team on the road since 2008. Okay? So just putting that out there. And one more thing I want to tell you about Florida State, Kwok, that I just found.
Yes.
I'm going to read this to you, okay?
Okay.
Florida State Associate AD Rob Wilson says the school will consider a makeup game against Louisiana Monroe on ACC championship game weekend.
Oh, no.
If the Seminoles do not win the Atlantic. What?
They're basically done. They're
what?
Seeding it. They forfeited.
You're basically punting this idea that you could still make it to the ACC championship and scheduling Louisiana Monroe or trying to schedule them so you can get that extra win and maybe still get to 8 or 9 wins. And have that respectable mark, you know, that you can continue on in terms of streaks and all that. He says, we have been in contact with Louisiana Monroe, and we continue to explore options. Currently, this would be our only possible date if we were to make up this game this year. What? Also, I want to read you one more headline, and then I'm absolutely done, okay?
Okay.
The headline reads, unbeaten Wake Forest to host winless Florida State this Saturday in Winston-Salem. What a headline. What a world we are living in. That just blows my mind. Anyway, I'm done now.
That's ridiculous. Thank you
for the time.
Did you tell people about Christopher Trucks?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, because that negativity toward Florida State is clearly sponsored by Christopher Trucks.
Obviously, and yeah. I'm sorry, Stuart Christopher and all your family for having to sponsor that, but, you know, it is what it is. 66 years in business. That means Christopher Trucks started in 1951. Fourth generation owned. They have over 4 million in new and used inventory in stock. They have work-ready trucks, dump trucks, landscape trucks, box trucks, Sprinter vans, Isuzu, OTR, everything you could need. They also do RV maintenance, and we know you're tailgating. We know it's football season. Make sure your RV is ready to go and purring, as Kwok would say, like a tiger. So go get your RV serviced and maintained over at Christopher Trucks. Their service department is open every weekday from 7 a.m. until midnight, and you can check them out as well on ChristopherTrucks.com.
James Blackman played fine for Florida State.
He really did.
They actually outgained NC State in the game, which is kind of that's disappointing for me as someone who hates Dave Doran with all his soul. There was only one turnover in the game, and it was a fumble, and Blackman didn't throw any interceptions, and he completed more than two-thirds of his passes. But here's what you didn't expect James Blackman to do. You didn't expect James Blackman to bring the team from down double digits against that NC State defense late in the game. And NC State still managed to find a way to almost ruin everything by, with these two things. If you think that Dave Doran's chokeaholic, automatic choke job, gag program has gone away, then you missed the last 12 minutes of the game, 10 minutes, 8 minutes of the game, whatever it was, when they snapped the ball over the quarterback's head for a safety, pucker, and then they had a punt blocked after a timeout where Florida State adjusted. Florida State legitimately called timeout, came out of the timeout, and blocked a punt. So they gave up a safety, and then they gave up field position to Florida State, who couldn't cash it in. What the heck was NC State doing? They legitimately, under no circumstances, should get credit for almost blowing an 11-point lead. Now, they should get credit for building such a lead. But this is the same Doran gag, choke job of a program. There's no question in my mind. Snap the ball over the quarterback's head because you're so tentative. Oh, we can't win the game. Oh, we got to snap it over his head. Oh, we got a punt block. Oh. And then you face a Florida State team who is one of the five worst teams in America at converting possessions in plus territory. Do you see this stat? I saw the stat this morning. 13 times Florida State's been in plus territory. They scored touchdowns twice. NC State still finds a way to win. Florida State finds a way to lose against a team scared to death to actually go win the game. Oh, what are we going to do? We're up 11 late in the game. Oh! That's NC State for you. Congratulations, NC State. You found the one situation in America that Doran actually couldn't screw up. Let's go to the phone. 654-ROAR is the phone number. 654-7627 on the Northern Communication phone lines. Bailey is up with us next. Hey, Bailey, what's going on?
Nothing much. I just now got out of class to call y'all back.
Oh, nice. Well, how old are you?
Yeah. I had that school prediction about right, didn't I?
What? Wait, what's that?
My school prediction on Saturday. I said 36.
Oh, well, that was pretty doggone right then. Congratulations. Yeah. That was really close.
Yep. I just wanted to call in and say that was me. I'm great.
Bailey, we give you props today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much.
I was on the phone for the beginning. Did he say that he had to get permission from his teacher to call
he did.
In?
He's That's like, awesome. Just got out of class.
He was our fan of the week. He came on for the Tiger pregame show, and he said 34-6. So close.
Way to go, Bailey.
Props to him. I need to take his picks from now on because your girl was way off. Did I read you that tweet I got?
No.
About my score prediction?
No. What did it say?
Some man tweeted at me and said that his daughter was sitting in the stands, and when it was 7-7 going into the fourth quarter, the 9-year-old daughter looked at the dad and said, "I thought that lady on the radio said we were going to win 52-10.
Yeah, you did.
I'm over here lying to children and getting their hopes up.
Oh,
I felt
man.
Terrible about that.
All right, what about Florida? Let's think about Florida State for a second, okay? What about Florida State? They're 0-2 right now. I don't 100% have a grasp on, like, I mean, they've got some issues. Most teams have played four games. They played two. So they've got 10 games left. So it feels like it's a third of the season's done, but for them it's not. It's you know, like a quarter or less of the season is done.
Well, and don't forget that Louisiana Monroe matchup in the beginning of December.
Right.
Add that on
right.
there, possibly.
You got to do that.
Yeah, if it gets scheduled.
Playing the same week as the AAC and the WAC or somebody. They've lost two games. They even with Francois, they had trouble. 13 in two games, 13 possessions plus territory, they scored two touchdowns. That's hideous. With those types of play, I mean, that's just horrible. You ought to be scoring points there. Let's play a little win game with Florida State, shall we? They're 0-2. Let's see what we got here. What about at Wake Forest coming up this weekend, 3:30 ABC?
Look, Florida State should beat Wake Forest, okay?
Yep.
Wake Forest has a little confidence.
Is that way? They got a little swagger.
Swagger about them.
That almost didn't matter against App
That's
State.
That's true. They almost fell to App State. I'm not trying to gloss over that. But Florida State will win this game, right?
I would think.
Right, Quack?
We can't live in a universe where Wake Forest is 5-0 and Florida State's 0-3.
That's not reality.
No.
That's fake news.
Exactly. This is law of average.
So they're going to get back on track at Wake.
Wake Forest was 4-0 last year, too, and they didn't exactly run the table, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Miami is up next. Miami.
Is that that's in Tallahassee, Miami? Right?
That's a home game. Yep.
I don't think so.
I think they lose that one. So 1-3 at Duke.
They beat Duke, right?
They're going to beat Duke.
Duke's improved,
The best team Duke's played is who? Northwestern?
Northwestern.
Northwestern's a little worse than I thought.
What about Duke getting me the cover there at UNC?
Yeah,
on Sunday?
Yeah. That was nice. That was nice. What about Louisville?
Louisville at home?
Yeah.
I am so intrigued by this game.
They going to beat Louisville with Blackman, the quarterback? I mean,
Lamar Jackson.
I think Louisville's defense is a disaster. I really, if Alexander still can't play, it depends on whether Alexander's there or not, because I don't know that Florida State can just.
I agree.
I don't know that Florida State has like all these weapons that they can just chuck the ball around.
But also, I mean, Lamar Jackson is literally by himself. He threw two picks against Kent State.
He is by himself. That's true.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Now, I'm saying loss.
Okay.
I'm
lost to Louisville at home.
Yeah. So they're 2-4 at BC.
When?
That's a Friday night. Friday night in Boston. You don't know what goes down a Friday night in Boston. Syracuse.
When?
They're going to win that. 4-4 At Clemson.
Loss.
They're playing something called Delaware State.
When?
And then they have at Florida. Are you seeing now why you might want to play UL Monroe? Because if you lose at Florida, that's loss number what? That's loss number 6. You're 5-6. That's why you need 12 games, Kelly. That's why you got to have 12 games.
So are we saying that Florida State could possibly be playing Louisiana Monroe on championship weekend in order to become bowl eligible?
Yes. And
is that what we're saying?
A classic Sun Belt matchup featuring UL Monroe and 5-6 Florida State. That's why you got to. That's my whole point. That's the whole point for that exercise. Because forget the Atlantic Division.
What is happening?
Florida State just needs to get the 6 wins somehow. And that schedule, with a freshman quarterback and an offense that's inefficient and a defense that's not exactly just, you know, like, I mean, they're not much to write home about right now. They're not just blowing people away, impressing people.
I mean, Ryan Finley looked pretty good against him.
I mean, I don't feel like we were being that unreasonable. And we had him at 5-6.
That's insane. I can't even wrap my head around that, really.
They're going to win at Florida. So the 6-5. They're not losing at Florida.
Are we
sure?
Yes. Because Florida somehow finds a way.
No. McElwain's Florida team is not beating Florida
State. Florida's
so
fake. They're so fake.
In any way, shape, or form. They are fakers.
I'm so done with Florida.
They're fakers.
I'm not putting them on the pick'em contest anymore. Just kidding.
More felony counts for their players currently on the roster or points scored this season. It's going to be a toss-up. More on that in the final segment. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in a moment.
Hey, Clemson fans, join Mickey Plyler live at Chick-fil-A of Clemson on Tiger Boulevard this Friday from 6 until 9. Get your favorite Chick-fil-A breakfast and stop by and listen to Mickey's update analysis of college football at Chick-fil-A on Tiger Boulevard in Clemson.
Y'all know what time it is, Clemson football. And wherever they go to catch all the action, from Death Valley to a friend's place, more and more Tiger fans go there in vehicles from Big O Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram. Because you can't spell go without O. And now, during Ram Power Days, lease a new 2017 Ram 1500 quad cab for just $179 per month. So visit us under that big American flag on the Motor Mile or at BigODodge.com.
Lease for $179 a month for 36 months. First payment, tax tag, and $29.99 due at signing. No security deposit required. With approved credit, see dealer for details.
Purple Haze, with new locations in Anderson and Clemson, has an amazing assortment of really cool stuff to create a unique experience. Body jewelry, glassware, and party favors, voted the Upstate's best piercing studio. There's nothing like the Purple Haze experience. Decorate with tapestries, incense, candles, and posters. Dress with purses, clothing, and backpacks. Feel the experience. Purple Haze, Tiger Boulevard, Clemson, across from Publix, and 3448 Cinema Avenue in Anderson, next to Dazzler's and behind Grady's. Purple Haze.
Clemson pride is everywhere, especially in Easley at Robinson's Department Store. Robinson's is ready to get you outfitted to show your paw pride with cool attire for men and women. Check out what Robinson's has to offer. Polos, button-ups, ties, sundresses, tunics, Just what you need to look awesome for tailgating, game time, or every day. They even have Jack Rogers sandals in purple and orange. Get your unique style and show your pride at Robinson's Department Store, 215 West Main Street in Easley, 855-0017.
Join Magnolia Park on Saturday, September 30th for a day of Fan Rage's fun. Bring the family in your game day gear for live music, lawn games, face painting, giveaways, and more. From 3 to 6 p.m. in front of Regal Cinemas on Woodruff Road, WCCP-FM will be broadcasting the Tiger pregame show live from 2 to 5 p.m. Don't forget to stop by your favorite Magnolia Park restaurants to score some delicious game day deals. So have some Fan Rage's fun this Saturday at Magnolia Park on Woodruff Road.
When I first heard about the health dare, I was skeptical.
I was skeptical.
I was definitely skeptical.
My doctor said I needed to lose weight, but I wasn't sure if this was for me.
I'd already tried everything.
Other programs just weren't sustainable.
Then I heard on the radio how the health dare was helping all these people reverse their diabetes.
How the health dare was getting people off their blood pressure medicine.
How much weight people were losing on the health dare.
So with a money-back guarantee, I tried it.
I decided to take the health dare.
I took the health dare 90-day challenge.
That was months ago. In 8 weeks, I lost 48 pounds and 22 inches.
I couldn't believe it, but I lost 41 pounds of fat and 45 inches in just 5 weeks.
With the health dare, I lost over 200 pounds. But more importantly, I'm off my cholesterol and blood pressure meds. And my CPAP machine is in the closet.
It's because I took the health dare.
The health dare.
The health dare. And I dare you.
Book today at thehealthdare.com. That's thehealthdare.com.
Book your free consultation with a health coach at idaregreenville.com.
Hurry up, guys. We got to get to the game and set up our tailgate.
Honey, the toilet is overflowing and backing up everywhere.
We are not missing the game.
Mom, Charlie is splashing in the water, and I'm ready to go.
Hello, Roto-Rooter. This is Dan Fan, and I'm trying to get to the game, but the toilet is overflowing. I need you here fast. Even on game day, count on Roto-Rooter. Call 288-7686.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Football season is here, and it's time to score big and get in on the action with MyBookie.ag. MyBookie is an industry-leading website and the best place for you to cash in on all the insane last-minute drives, huge upsets, and heart-pounding finishes. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. They have in-game live betting on nearly every sporting event, plus a user-friendly mobile site so you never miss a single play. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Come join MyBookie today. With decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print, you'll experience the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. Use promo code RADIO to activate your bonus of up to 100%. Call 844-900-2387 or visit mybookie.ag to open an account. That's 844-900-BETS or go online to mybookie.ag and use promo code RADIO. Win with the best only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Gets the crowd involved, doesn't it?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
You know, it's little things in life like this. Just let this play for a second.
Well, I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio.
It's just the little things. And you know something? With this whole debate about college players getting paid, sometimes it's not about getting fancy cars. It's not about fine dining. It's just about chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. That's all it's about.
Are you referencing bow time?
I don't know. Do they have a Bojangles right there next to the University of Florida campus? Because maybe that's all these guys wanted, was a little bit of chicken fried. Pair of jeans that fit just right and the radio up. I mean, is that too much to ask? That stuff costs money, Kelly, and players aren't getting paid, and they got to fake it till they make it. But they have to get these small delicacies at Florida. Apparently, This is it. I'm just trying to figure out a rationale why somebody would be charged with 30 felonies for credit card fraud. This hour is brought to you by Tiger Sports Shop. Thank God we don't have people going into Tiger Sports Shop and charging money from stolen credit cards on their student accounts to buy gear. Don't do that. It's a felony. But what's not a felony is buying all kinds of great stuff from Tiger Sports Shop. The orange, the purple, the natty gear, and the knickknacks. I love natty things to display in your home, but I also love natty things to wear. And frankly, when you beat Boston College 34-7 and it's 7-7 in the fourth, a little retail therapy isn't the worst thing in the world, especially if that retail therapy is used to try to remind you that Clemson is the defending national champs after a bit of an underwhelming weekend at the Ball Yard. Tiger Sports Shop, two locations in Clemson to serve you, 364 College Avenue downtown, 1102 Tiger Boulevard on Highway 123. Breaking news from SECCountry.com. I'm reading Jordan McPherson's story here. It is as follows. All nine Florida football players that have been suspended since before the season opener, including Antonio Callaway and Jordan Scarlett, leading receiver, leading rusher, are potentially facing multiple counts of felony charges for fraud. Sworn complaint affidavits from the University of Florida Police Department were filed Monday, according to LSU County Court records, blah, blah, blah. True freshman offensive lineman Kadeem Telford. True freshman. This guy was schooled basically on the streets. Comes from the school of hard knocks. True freshman offensive lineman Kadeem Telford could be facing 30 third-degree felony charges. 30. For one person. 13 counts of use of another person's credit card without consent. 13. You did it 13 times. Every single time you're pulling the lever on the slot machine there, bucko. 12 counts of fraud, illegal use of credit card. 4 counts of possession of a forged instrument. We're not talking tubas and banjos. And 1 count for fraud slash obtaining property for under $20,000. Callaway Scarlett, junior defensive end, Kevonis Davis, redshirt freshman wide receiver Rick Wells, freshman linebackers James Houston and Ventrell Miller, and defensive lineman Richard Desir Jones, each have 2 charges recommended against them, 1 for fraud obtaining property for under $20,000, and 1 for possession and use of another person's credit card without consent. If you do the math on that, that's 30, 32, 34, 36, 38, 40, 42, 44 charges. And wait, there's more, because redshirt freshman defensive end Jordan Smith could be facing up to 5 charges, 4 counts of using another person's ID credit card without consent, and 1 for obtaining property under $20,000. All the charges are third-degree felonies. If you do the math, Kelly Gramlich, that's 49 felonies. Now do you see why they were suspended indefinitely and have perpetually been suspended since the beginning of time this season? 49 felonies. State Attorney Bill Cervone, it continues. Any comments on 49? Because I want to read exactly what they did as well. No? It's okay. If you don't, that's okay.
Here's my one comment. W-U-T, what? That's my comment.
State Attorney Bill Cervone told the Orlando Sentinel's Edgar Thompson that the players are accused of using multiple credit cards from multiple victims. Cervone told Thompson that Callaway transferred not $1,970 from a stolen credit card to his UF account. Remember, it was about fraudulent use of the school debit card.
Right.
So almost $2,000 from a stolen credit card to his UF account, and Scarlett transferred $1,940 to his UF account. This made for 1 fraudulent transaction apiece. He also said none of the players expect to be arrested. As many as 7 are able to qualify for a diversion program that would expunge charges from their records. As many as 7, meaning there are 2 that aren't and some that may not be. Unbelievable. According to the UF Police Department crime log, there are 2 entries reported on August 15th for counts of fraud, illegal use of credit cards at the campus bookstore, which is how this whole thing came about. Essentially, what they were doing is they had this true freshman basically running stolen credit cards to his teammates to load up their university accounts for just simple things. A little bit of chicken fried, cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio up. That's all they're trying to do, Kelly Gramlich. They're not trying to get fancy cars. It's not $40,000. It's $2,000. I don't know how any college athlete doesn't just steal credit cards and load them onto their accounts with the $0 they get. Any thoughts on this?
I don't know what to say.
I mean, I just...
That's just outrageous. I mean...
How do you do it 13 times? 13 counts of use of another person's credit card without consent? You really think... Now, I mean, I guess the show Breaking Bad is a series of these. Want to cook? I mean, the show Breaking Bad is a series of these where every time you try to sell methamphetamine, every time you're basically rolling the dice. This guy played for keeps. 30 felony charges for a true freshman. 30. You kidding me? I feel kind of bad. I feel kind of bad. If just one of his teammates just stood up and said, this is wrong, maybe they wouldn't do it. 9 players. 49 felony charges.
Speaking of Florida, did you pick Florida this week and then you pick them?
No.
So we both.
Because they can't score.
We both suffered from Kentucky being, what's the word, Quack? Incompetent, idiotic.
Completely.
A dumpster fire.
They are trending toward incapable of winning a close game.
They literally had 10 players on the field when Florida was on, what, the 10-yard line trying to score to win the game? Kentucky couldn't even put 11 players on the field. Oh, I was so frustrated watching that Kentucky game. I couldn't even put it into words. It was really tough.
There was a tweet that came out, and I'm not going to quote it directly because I've lost it. But they asked Mark Stoops about it in his press conference today. And one of the things that he said is that there are now 2 people assigned to get this.
What?
I mean, just a radical development in the Kentucky program. Mark Stoops said there are now 2 people assigned, and their job is to make sure that every receiver on the field is covered at the snap of the ball.
Isn't that just like football 101?
That's like a basketball coach going, hey, I want you to make sure that all 5 players have somebody guarding them every possession. Every receiver is covered. First of all, you know that the one play where the guy's just chilling over there, just chilling, like that was bad. Were there other instances, or was this the one time? I mean, I watched a good bit of the game. I didn't notice that it was a major issue. So really, it's just the one time. You got 2 people but whose job it is to make sure that every receiver's covered.
The
on
point
the field.
Is,
you can't
is
just
that
do that.
It was the worst possible time for that to happen.
Mercy.
You let Luke Del Rio, who has proven that he can't win a single close game, right?
I can't do anything.
You have Luke Del Rio passing to a wide open man to beat Kentucky at Kentucky. A game that Florida did not deserve to win. Kentucky played well enough to win that game until literally the final minute.
Until the very last part of it where Kentucky gagged it away, as teams like Kentucky typically
and
do.
And then that holding call when Kentucky ran up the middle, got to like the 30-yard line, was going to kick a nice little field goal. They have a really good field goal kicker. And then the holding call to bring it back. Oh.
Did it happen a second time? I didn't see the second time. Texas says it happened twice.
That they didn't have every receiver covered?
They didn't have
covered?
Every receiver covered. Maybe I missed one.
Maybe so.
Maybe I missed. I watched a good bit of the game.
I was flipping. There were so many games
play.
To keep up with.
I know.
That Saturday night. Man. Also, Penn State escaping Iowa. Iowa, very, very difficult place to play. I don't panic at all with Penn State. I think that was an impressive win. Even though they were held down offensively and all that. Saquon Barkley he's the best running back in the country and should be getting some serious, serious Heisman talk what he did.
My guy Mason Rudolph still having a pretty good year, but when your team loses to TCU, you got to kind of cool it on that for a minute. I still think Rudolph is going to have the best quarterback stats in the country when the season's over. I still believe that. But Barkley is a man amongst...
Yeah, he's incredible.
Honestly, he's like Hercules amongst men is what he is. I mean, he was a freak. There were about 5 or 6 plays that nobody in the country could make that he made against Iowa in a game where his team barely cracked 20. So if he doesn't make one of those plays, they probably lose.
This is a topic for another show because we only have a minute left.
Yes.
Does Baker Mayfield's attitude, personality, ridiculousness hurt him in the Heisman at all? What he does on a daily basis of just being ridiculous?
No, because Jameis Winston is still worse than him.
Yeah, but that really hurt. I mean, okay, I'm not trying to equate the 2 things, but no, he won the first year.
Well, he won the first year, yeah.
I just think Mayfield rubs a lot of people the wrong way with his off-the-field and on-the-field antics.
I think the guy's a complete moron.